How many of you were there? Was there anybody who had never heard this one before? Wow, okay. Glad to sing it again sometime and learn it better. All right, well, the message is certainly true. We have a lot to be thankful for. We talked a lot about this in Sunday school. We often forget what God has done for us. And by the way, that's why Scripture tells us, particularly when it comes to the Lord's table, that's why we do it as often as we do. Because if we didn't do it very often or not at all, we would forget what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Let's have an opening word of prayer. Father, we thank you for each one who is here today. We're thankful for the privilege that we have to meet here. And we realize that we, the people, are the church and not the building. But we're thankful for this building you've given us and the fact that it's paid for and that we have this place to come and meet together. And we realize there are some churches out there that do not have their own buildings and are forced to rent another building. Just thankful for what you've given us here. We're thankful for the heritage that we have at this church and for Pastor Freeman, who was here for 41 years and taught us the Word of God. And that blessing that he continues to be to many to this day. As the Scripture says, he being dead yet speaketh. And he was a human just like all of us, and had his weaknesses and his strengths, but we're thankful that you gave us to him for as long as he was here, and that you spared him for as long as you did. And we pray as we continue that you would guide and direct the men on the search committee as they are tasked with not just finding the new pastor, which we take very seriously, but not just that, but the other decisions that have to be made to keep this ministry going. And we pray that you would guide and direct and make sure that we do what would be pleasing to you, and we do not want to be a poor testimony as individuals, as families, and as a church body here. We want to do what's right. And so we're thankful again for all that you've given to us, especially the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We pray that as we look into your word today, that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Be with Brother Hitchens. We're thankful for both him and Charlotte and the ministry that they have among us. And just as he, as they mentioned that they are blessed by us, we are so blessed by them as well. So we pray that you receive the honor and glory for all that's said and done today. For those who could not be here today, we pray that you would encourage and strengthen their hearts, and particularly those who are ill and not able to be with us. Give us a good day. We're thankful for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to sing the very next song, number 40. We gather together.
Now sleep is from distressing.
don't hear very often. I trust it was a blessing to you. I have several announcements here. First, this coming Wednesday night, we are going to have our Thanksgiving fellowship at 7 p.m. Hope you'll come and join us. We're going to have a praise and testimony time and a hymn sing kind of thrown into the mix there. And then following that, hopefully we'll bring some good finger foods and desserts. We'll have a good time fellowship downstairs after that, little service. I want to make this announcement ahead of time. Hard to believe that we have just over a month left in this year. It's passing by so quickly. But anyway, wanted to start making this announcement. It so happens that December 25th is a Wednesday this year, and we will not be having our Wednesday evening service that night. We did this 3 years ago when December 25th was on a Sunday. Pastor Freeman was still alive then, and he canceled the evening service that night and suggested that we spend the time with our families, and we're suggesting we do the same. So we will not be having our Wednesday prayer and Bible study on Wednesday, December 25th. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. Okay. Two other things. First, we heard from Pastor Ray, and there is a $50 need for both him and his wife for medical testing that they need. Medical needs involved with that. It's for their eyes. They need their eyes need a checkup, and hard to believe, but for $50, they can for both of them, they can get the checkup and get new eyeglasses. It's unbelievable. Obviously, it's many more dollars than that here in this country. But that's what they need. They need the $50 so they can get the examination for their eyes and new eyeglasses. So if anyone would like to contribute to that, please take one of the envelopes in the back at the offering table. Put your gift in it. Mark it for ready eye glasses or whatever you want to call something like that. And put it in the regular offering box, and we'd love to be a blessing to them. They continue to do a good work for the Lord over there in India. Last but not least, as you know, we had the Strawns, the whole family, here last week, and we heard from their older daughter, Alice, who is a missionary in Japan for the last 15 years or so. And we were able to take in a good love offering for her, $745. So she sent a card here to the church, and I would like to read what she says. She says, "Dear friends at Ray Street Baptist Church, this past Sunday was my first visit to Ray Street, and you made me feel extremely welcome. Many people spoke to me and showed interest in hearing about Japan. Your love gift was very generous and greatly appreciated. Lunch was delicious. For these many acts of kindness and warm hospitality, I say thank you. Thank you for caring, and thank you for welcoming my family. I return to Japan on December 5th. Please continue to pray for Japan. Sincerely, Alice Strong," and she gives a scripture reference of Zechariah 4:6. I think it would be a good idea to find out what that says. Yes. Correct. Here's what it says. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." That actually is the very last verse of the Old Testament. It's interesting that that's all the children of Israel and the world in general heard until the New Testament. For it was over 400 years. Interesting. But anyway, that was a blessing to be able to share that with you and to hear that the Lord blessed and giving her amount of money. So we're thankful for that. Yeah. Yes, Sam?
I thought it was Zechariah 4:6.
That's what I read. Oh, I read Malachi. No wonder. What I said at the end of the verse was correct. The verse itself was wrong. Are you already turned there, Sam?
Yeah.
If you want to read it, please go ahead.
Okay. All right, Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now that sounds more appropriate. It is true, though, that parents are heavily involved in the training of the children, and if the children are not trained properly, then their hearts will not be turned to the Lord. Okay, sorry about that. All right, so those are the announcements. One final thing, and that's our scripture memory verse. We've been studying the book of Job, chapter 19. We will finish verse 25, and now at verse 26. So you can take your own time to look at that and get a little bit more. All right, we'll have a special at this time.
We had done this song here before, but my wife keeps a pretty good record of what we sang, where, and she didn't have it in her records, so I'm assuming we haven't done it here.
And if we had, it would be a blessing anyway.
Yeah, that's right. When we climb the highest hill some morning, when we've left the valley far behind, when we pass the road's last bend, we'll be welcomed by the friend who's been watching over us as the trail we climb.
Then he'll take us walking the garden, and we'll rest where all is calm and clear. Then he'll wipe away each tear, every pain and every fear, when we stand upon the highest peak. When the angel bends our soul,
that says, I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus the song. All right, so we'll sing it, and then maybe we can all try it together, okay?
It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. Oh, it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my heart with a song. Oh, it's amazing what praising can do.
Let's try it all together here. Ready?
Oh, it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's amazing what praising can do.
Other two songs I think are going to be a lot more, people will know them a lot better. All right. 217. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
217.
Thank you.
my wife's favorite song that I sing. She doesn't like any of the other ones, but she does like this one. So it's her birthday, so she gets to listen to me. My strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, and Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all. Let's sing the whole thing together one time, all right? Just the first verse. You are my strength when I am weak. And then that chorus, just lift it up to the Lord, all right? You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
Oh, All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Mark chapter 14, if you will. Mark chapter number 14. Bow for prayer as we get started here. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege, again, that we have to be here in the house of God today. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings during the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we have sung, Lord, during Sunday school and also during the morning service. Thank you for the specials. And Lord, what a great privilege we have to be in the house of God today. And so I praise you and bless now as we look into your word. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll give you the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake, we ask it. Amen. In the first part of this 14th chapter, it's 2 days until the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. And it says that Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And as he sat there at meat, this woman came with the alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And, of course, she said this was anointing him for his burial. There was a dissension amongst some of the apostles over this, and one of the parallel passages tells us who it was. It was Judas who objected to this, and we know why. He's the treasurer, right? He carried the bag. And he was also a thief, the Bible said. He said, why wasn't this sold and, you know, given to the poor? He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was concerned about that money. But Jesus said in verse number 6, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good, but me have not always. And then he says down in verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So for 2,000 years, you know, people have remembered this deed. And so it was a great thing that she did here in anointing of the Lord Jesus for his burial. And then, of course, after this, they go out into the, they have the Last Supper, and then they go out into the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. And, you know, one writer has said about the Garden of Gethsemane and what took place there, he said, about all we can do as mortals is kind of walk around the perimeter and peer in at what's taking place there, because we really can't comprehend it. There, the Lord Jesus, we're told, sweat as it were great drops of blood as he was under this tremendous pressure. I think the pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane was to bypass the cross. That was the temptation. That was the pressure that's being put on him. Is there not, you know, some other way? Well, there was no other way. And, of course, he said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He prayed, you know, in that 36th verse, Abba, Father, all things are possible, and they take away this cup from me. And I don't think he was shrinking from the physical pain of the cross, although that was excruciating. But I think it was the thought of being made sin for us. That's what he was tending to shrink from. That all the sin, and this is true, all the sin of all the world was poured out on him at the cross, wasn't it? And he became sin for us, the Bible says. And of course, God had to turn his back. God cannot look on sin. And that's why he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God can't look on sin. And so for that period of time on the cross, you know, he became sin for us. And I think that's what he had this tendency to shrink from. Take this cup away. That's what he was speaking about, I believe. But then he said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And then, of course, as they're there in the garden, the soldiers come, and they come with spears and swords, the Bible says, and staves. down to verse number 43. And Judas betrays him with a kiss. And then if you look down at verse number 47, one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. I'm going to speak to you this morning on verses 51 and 52. This young man. I've read that for years. I've been saved for 54 years. And I don't know how many times I have read that. And it's always intrigued me. I've never brought a message on it. I've never really had studied it out. But it has always intrigued me what we're told here in those two verses. So some observations on these verses. First of all, this account and these two verses is isolated. It's the only one mentioned in the Gospels. Matthew doesn't mention this. Luke doesn't mention it. John doesn't mention it. Mark is the only one that mentions this. Now, that doesn't change inspiration, though, does it? God only has to say something one time for it to be so. You know, we have in the Gospels four different accounts, you know, of the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, really through the eyes of four different individuals, what we have. I know some of the critics of the Bible, they say, well, you know, there are differences in the Gospel. Yes, there are. But it's not because of any error. It's because that certain people see things that others don't. Let me give you an example. Years ago, my wife made a dress. She doesn't sew much anymore, but she used to. You sew quite a bit. And she made a dress, and this dress had a pattern on it of clothes hanging on a clothesline. They weren't a very big, but, you know, that was in the pattern, the clothes hanging on a clothesline. Well, she wore that dress several times. And one time we were with some friends of ours, and this one fella is very perceptive about things. And he was looking at her dress, and he said, you know, the clothes are upside down on the clothesline. And they were. I never saw that. I probably never would have seen that in a million years. But they were. She didn't see it. He saw it. So what does that tell us? Different people, look, the clothes were upside down. And just because we didn't see it doesn't change the fact that they were upside down. Certain people see certain things, others don't. One time I had a class in Bible college, creative writing class, very interesting class. And the teacher one day took an orange and set his orange on the desk. And he said, I want you to write everything you see about that orange. And we did. And after we got done, we read our accounts of what we saw. And guess what? Certain people saw things that others didn't. The orange was the same that everybody looked at, but they each one saw something different. That's true about the Gospels. And those Gospel accounts dovetail together. John saw some things that, you know, maybe Luke didn't see. And Mark saw some things maybe Matthew didn't see, but they all dovetailed. You know, that to me is a very strong argument for inspiration. I think it would be a weak argument if everything was exactly the same. But I think it's much stronger that they all give their account of what they saw. Well, this account is isolated. It's the only one mentioned in the Gospels. A second thing about it, this account is infallible. It's the Word of God. Just because we might read over it and maybe not understand it doesn't change the fact that it's God's Word, does it? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I have a list of things about the Word of God here. I probably shared this before, but every word of God's important. John 21:25. Every word of God's infallible. Matthew 5:17-18. Every word of God is immutable. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Every word of God's incorruptible. Proverbs 30:5. Every word of God's illuminating. Psalm 119:105. Every word of God is instructing. 2 Timothy 3:16. Every word of God is inspecting. Hebrews 4:12. Every word of God's impregnating. Ezekiel 37. Every word of God's invigorating. Psalm 119:25. Every word of God is inhibiting. Psalm 119:11. So every word of God is infallible, isn't it? And that goes for these two verses here. And then another thing I see about it, every word of God is important. God doesn't put anything in this book that's not important. Let's turn, if you will, to John chapter 20. John chapter number 20. And notice what the Apostle John says here in verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. John says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Think about that. "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So he's saying here, not everything Jesus did is recorded. Look over chapter 21 and verse number 25. John 21, verse 25. It says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Wow. If everything he did was written, he said, "I suppose the world itself couldn't contain the books." So what does that mean? It evidently means that what we do have is the bare bones account of what the Holy Spirit decided we should have. These are the most important things. There are 36 words in those two verses in Mark 50 and 51, 51 and 52. 36 words. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what?" Every word. So every one of those 36 words is important, isn't it? Right? Amen? Yeah, it's God's word. And think about this. If all the things that Jesus did, if they were written in books, John said, even the world itself couldn't contain the books. How important does that make what we do have? It makes it very important, doesn't it? Because these are the most important things the Holy Spirit wanted us to have. And that includes these two verses. Something else about these two verses, they're interesting. They grab your attention. Look at them again. It said, "There followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." All we're told about him. It grabs your attention though, doesn't it? It makes you study. And what are we told? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Years ago, I remember talking to a fellow. I'm sure the man wasn't saved. But as we were talking about the Bible, here was his comment. He said, "Oh, yes, I read that." talking about the Bible. Oh, yes, I read that. Well, can you really say about this book, I read that? I mean, you can say about a novel, I read that, can't you? I remember reading a lot of novels over the years. I remember reading a lot of novels in high school. Tale of Two Cities, David Copperfield, all those classics. And I could say about those, I read that. But you can't say about this, I read that, can you? Because, I mean, this takes a lifetime. This occupies a lifetime, doesn't it, of study. And one of the things I found out about this book in 54 years is the more you study, the more you realize how much is there. And how much we really just scratched the surface of what's there. So this account is isolated, it's infallible, it's important, and it's interesting. It grabs your attention, makes you want to study. But then it's also illuminating because it sheds some light on the arrest of the Lord Jesus, something the others don't talk about. And then it's intriguing, trying to figure out who this is. Now, I think we can say this for sure. We're never going to know who it is till we get to heaven, right? Because the Bible doesn't tell us. Now, I think there are some clues, and maybe we can, you know, come up with some ideas. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But as far as knowing for sure who this is, we're not going to know till we get to heaven. But it is intriguing. And then it's inspiring because notice the one thing about this young man that he did, he followed Jesus, didn't he? He followed him. So those are some observations that we can make. Well, what about the investigation? Trying to figure out who this young man is. Well, first of all, this account takes place at night, doesn't it? Takes place at night. If you look at John chapter 18, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. They had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane after the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And Jesus began to pray. And then in chapter 18 of John, at verse number 3, it says, Judas then, having received a band of men, officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. You don't need lanterns and torches in the daytime, do you? You need them at night. So this scene takes place at night. I think we can agree on that. And then notice, it says about this young man in verse number 51 of Mark chapter 14, said, there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. Now, the fact that it's a linen cloth tells me something about it. He's a wealthy young man. This is not something the poor people had. This is an indication of wealth on his part. Is he the rich young ruler? Jesus, remember, dealt with a rich young ruler. And what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, how reads the law? And then he speaks about, you know, all those things, you know, those commandments that have to do with man's dealing with man. But then Jesus said, go and sell all you have and then come follow me. And he went away sorrowing, the Bible says, because he had great wealth. Notice Jesus there put his finger on the big problem in his life, didn't he? It was his money. And his money was his God, wasn't it? And the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Was it the rich young ruler? Did he go away? Did he get under conviction? Did he come back? We don't know. But it indicates he's a wealthy young man, whoever this is. And then something else about it, the garment. Notice the garment, it says there followed him having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. Why is that significant? Well, it seemed like he must have jumped out of bed. He evidently must have jumped out of bed and didn't really have time to put his clothes on. He saw what was happening. He threw this linen garment around him and he followed the Lord Jesus. Some people think he is the owner of the garden. I don't know if you've read that or not. Evidently, somebody owned the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe so. But then, of course, you know, why was he there at this time of night? You know, I don't think that kind of jives with you know, everything else that we're told here. But that's what some of the commentators seem to think. He's not an apostle, is he? Because it says that all the apostles fled. They all forsook him and fled, it says in verse 50. So he's not an apostle, right? He's not one of the temple guards. Because the temple guards grab him, don't they? Grab a hold of that linen cloth. And it says he fled from them naked. Some think that it's actually Mark himself. That kind of makes sense. Look over, if you will, at John chapter 21. You know, in John's writings, John refers to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. Look at John chapter 21 and down at verse number 20. Let's see. Well, let's back up a little bit. Look at verse 18. Jesus is speaking here. He's actually speaking to Peter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" That's John. John refers to himself there as that disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't mention himself by name, but he mentioned himself that way. And so is it possible that this is Mark? Well, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is very possible. Again, we don't know. And again, we're not going to know until we get to heaven, but it's possible, isn't it? Now, how about an application? What kind of an application can we make of those two verses? 36 words. Evidently very important words. God put them in his inspired text. Even though we may not know who it is, and again, we won't know until we get to heaven, but he put it in the inspired text and is there for a reason, isn't it? What kind of an application can we get from this? Well, first of all, this young man was captivated by the Lord Jesus, wasn't he? By the fact that I think it's so that he jumped out of bed, grabbed this garment when he realized Jesus was taken prisoner and he followed him. He's captivated by him. Well, would to God that be true about all of us? That we've been saved by his grace, haven't we? But we need to fall more in love with him, don't we? We need to fall more in love with him. And this young man was captivated by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of like what Paul said, for me to live is what?
Christ.
For me to live is Christ. I mean, when you say that, you're saying, look, he's my everything. It's what you said in the song, right? He is our everything. The most important person and the most important thing in our life is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And This young man is captivated by him, isn't he? According to this account. He obviously wanted to be with him to do what he did here. To jump out of bed, throw on this linen garment and follow him. He obviously wanted to be with him. And that should be a motivating desire in our life too, should it not? That we want to be with him. We want to fellowship with him. By the way, you know, I think he wants our fellowship more than we do. I really do. In the Garden of Eden, remember God came looking for Adam and Eve? The Bible says he came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Evidently, he had been used to doing that before the fall. He came to fellowship with them, didn't he? And he wants to fellowship with us. So this young man wanted to be with the Lord Jesus. But then I see something else about him here. He watched other people flee. The apostles. These are the chosen ones. And they all fled. All forsaken and fled. I think Peter was well-meaning when he said, "Lord, do all men forsake you? I'll never forsake you." I think he meant that. The problem was he didn't know his heart, did he? That's the problem. And we may be well-meaning, but sometimes that old nature comes to the surface. And just like these said, they all forsook him and fled. These are the apostles. These are the leaders. He watched other people flee, but he didn't. And then he ignored the danger. I think to name the name of Christ as time goes on is going to be more dangerous. Things are happening in our world, and they're happening very fast too. That if you name the name of Christ, you know, you're marked. And there are plenty of places in the world where to name the name of Christ can mean a jail sentence. It may mean your life, right? Now, that hadn't happened here yet, but it certainly could. And we know this much, that during the tribulation, we know what's going to happen there, don't we? Those people that refuse to get the mark are going to be beheaded under the Antichrist. Well, this young man ignored the danger and he began to follow Jesus. And he was ready to follow him at a moment's notice. I think that's indicated by the fact he grabbed that linen garment. He's ready to go. And then this, he found something more important than his wealth here. I think there's an indication he is a very wealthy young man. He had it all, but he found something more important, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Rather have him than have riches untold, right? Fairer than lilies. Yeah. And to have a relationship with him is better than all that this world holds. I guess the richest man in the world right now is probably Jeff Bezos at Amazon. It varies, you know, there are different times. At one time, Carlos Slim down in Mexico, the big telecom man, he was the richest man in the world. And then, of course, there's been at Microsoft, Bill Gates. But I think it's Jeff Bezos now at Amazon, if I'm not mistaken.
His wife has half of it.
Sir?
His wife has asked.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. That's right. That's right. But would you be willing to trade places with any of them if they're not saved? No. What shall a prophet make if he gain the world and lose his soul? Not, look, anything this world has is not worth it, is it, compared to eternity? The rich man in Luke 16 and the beggar died, was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, the Bible says, was buried, and hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. For the unsaved man, if he doesn't get saved, the best he's ever going to have it is in this life, isn't it? If he doesn't get saved. For the Christian, the worst we're ever going to have it is in this life. Because when we get home to be with the Lord, I mean, that's eternal bliss. So there is nothing in this world that's worth what we have as Christians. And so this young man, he found something here, I think, more important than his wealth. Now, they grabbed that linen garment, and he fled away naked, the Bible says. But he did intend to follow Jesus, didn't he? And he also did something the others didn't do. Whether it was Mark or not, I don't know. But there are applications we can get from this. And the big thing I take from this is that he followed Jesus. And we sing that chorus, I've decided to follow Jesus. Right? No turning back. No turning back. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to his word today. Look at those verses again. It said, they all forsook him and fled. They followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and he fled from them naked. It's God's word. 36 words. Inspired of God. Well, may God add his blessing to his word today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the song has been a blessing to our hearts, and thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that as we met together, I pray their hearts might be open and receptive to what you have for us. Lord, I pray during this time of invitation that you would speak, and the being in our midst who have never been saved, that, Lord, today they might come to know thee as Savior. And as Christians, Lord, do a work in our hearts. Draw us ever near to yourself and revive us. And, Lord, for what you do, we'll give you all the thanks and the praise now in Jesus' matchless name. For his sake, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hey, brother.
We'll take our chorus books and turn to number 31. bless the services today. We're a blessing to you. We have a lot to be thankful for, like we learned in Sunday school. And obviously, the most important thing is the gift of eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ. And that's what we learned about in this service. And all the events surrounding that. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we pray that we will be thankful for all you've given us. And yes, it's a great blessing to have the gift of eternal life. But just as important is letting other people know that they can have that gift too. And in spite of the difficulty that we face every day in this world, because of this world system that's in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of all that, help us to be faithful in sharing the Word of God with people. Help us to be looking for those opportunities, and may your Spirit impress upon our hearts when it's time to share the Word. And may we not be neglectful of that. And may we do the work that you've left us here to do. The Great Commission tells us we are to share the gospel with people, and then once they are saved, to disciple them and teach them to do what will please you until the end of this age. And we're thankful for the promise that the Lord Jesus said he will be with us always.
Amen.
And also the promise he gave that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so may we, with the equipment that has been given to us, may we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and do what will please you. Dismiss us now with your blessing. We pray that
each would arrive safely at their destination, and may we be back the next appointed time to hear from you, and may we receive a blessing from it. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.